in progress.
Good vach, everyone. Nice to see everyone. I hope everyone had a good Rosh Hashanah, meaningful Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure that Hashem was mekabel. He answered and heard all of our tefillos. Right now we're on Motzei Shabbos Shuvah, a few days before Yom HaKadosh, the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. Reminds of the vort, which we mentioned a number of times, the vort from the Munkach Rebbe, I think it was, who said that if he would live in the time of Chazal, the time where the various fast days were instituted, he would have cancelled them. He wouldn't have instituted the other fast days, with two exceptions. The one exception is Tisha B'Av, the other one is Yom Kippur. And he explained and he said, Tisha B'Av, who can eat? In other words, the Churban, we remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, who can eat in such a situation? And Yom Kippur, he said, who needs to eat? The elevation, the Kedusha, the holiness, the connection that we achieve on Yom Kippur is so great that fasting is almost automatic. Obviously, at an halachic level, there are exceptions, etc., but that's the concept. So, we're a very, very special time. Shabbos Shuvah itself is a special time. Yom Kippur is the holiest day. So, I want to just practice and observe the minhag, which we weren't able to do during the day today, but the minhag of giving what we call a Shabbos Shuvah drasha, where we're going to go over some halachas, share a little bit, a few minutes of halachic analysis, and then try and develop some inspiration going into the next few days and going to the specialty, the day of Yom Kippur. So let me give you just a few practical halachas over the next few days. First of all, I just want to remind everyone that the next few days, when we daven, that's until Tuesday morning, that is, that we say, both by Shachris and by Mincha, we say the Long Avinu Malkeinu. Whatever your Nusach is, exactly when to say it, but we say the Long Avinu Malkeinu. We do not do that on Wednesday. Wednesday is Erev Yom Kippur, so there's no Tachnun and no Avinu Malkeinu. So that's just for the next few days. Of course, in addition to all the other additions of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, like the Shir HaMalas, Mimamakim, after Yishtabach, like the HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, and all the extra sentences that we add in to Chazaras HaShatz. Also, I just want to mention, of course, that the mitzvah of the day of Yom Kippur is fasting. There are those that have health issues and sometimes are not able to fast. It is very important, a couple of things to bear in mind. First of all, to ask a shayla. Number one, to speak to your doctor, but then to ask a rav, a shayla, exactly what to do. And I want to just recommend, I'm saying this a little bit from personal experience, if a person knows now, obviously there are emergencies, but if a person knows now that they have a shayla, they have a health issue, please ask a shayla the next day or two. Don't wait till Erev Yom Kippur, because sometimes it's a bit of back and forth, sometimes it's a bit of understanding what needs to go on, there's a discussion with doctors that have to have, and so on and so forth. Pregnant and nursing women, the halacha is, do have to fast. Again, if there's a complication, or at least they have to begin to fast, if you think that there's a particular situation, discuss it with your rab, but the default halacha is that they do need to fast. And of course, just to point out the famous concept we pointed out every year, but it's important to emphasize it, that the mitzvah of the day is fasting. So if, I know there's always people struggle with this, but this is what it is. It's fasting is more important than davening. So if someone is able to fast by resting a lot and spending a lot of time in bed and so on and so forth, even if it means not davening or even if it means not davening at all. Again, discuss it with your rab, but fasting is more important. And therefore, that always takes precedence. In terms of how we daven, if we need to daven without a minyan, I'm not going to go through that now. We're going to be giving a shiur mitzvah Hashem on Monday night. Rabbi Levi is at 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8 o'clock. We're doing a very basic shiur tomorrow night, but a more in-depth shiur on Monday night. Going through some of the tefillos, what to daven, what are the main parts, what you could say, what you can't say, similar to what we did before Rosh Hashanah. So please join us on Monday night when we're going to go through all of that. Just want to point out a few things with regard to Erev Yom Kippur. That's Wednesday. Erev Yom Kippur is a special day in itself. Number one, it's a mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur. It's brought down on Shulchan Aruch to be marbe b'tzedakah, to give extra tzedakah that day. Some people have a minhag, which is normally done in shul, but you can do it at home also. Have to give a little bit of tzedakah in plates, because the Baal Shem Tov explained that the noise that the money makes when it drops into the plates actually penetrates and is able to destroy all the negative forces that sometimes stand in the way. But whatever it is, tzedakah is an important thing to increase on Erev Yom Kippur. Kaparis could prove a bit tricky this year, so one can do it on money. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. And the minhag is that part of the reason that we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to honor the yontif of Yom Kippur, because we honor every yontif with food, and therefore we cannot do it this time on Yom Kippur, so we do it Erev Yom Kippur. But therefore the minhag is to try and eat two meals, one in late morning, one just before the fast, but to do it in the context of a yontif meal. Should be a proper tablecloth, a white tablecloth like we do on Shabbos and yontif. Should be challah, doesn't have to be two challahs, but it should be challah. We dip in honey, we eat a proper meal, and so on and so forth. A proper yontif meal. There are a couple of extra minhagim. There's a minute to eat lekach, which is honey cake on Erev Rosh Hashanah, even to ask someone for honey cake. A little bit difficult this year, but we're going to try and arrange something. And also, some people have a minute to eat kreplach, which is like dumplings, a sort of meat made in dough, etc. Whatever the minhag is, but it's a mitzvah to eat, and it's a mitzvah to have yontif su'udis. Also, one of the minhagim, one of the halachas actually of Erev Yom Kippur is going to mikveh. It's one of the times of the year it's actually more halachic than anything else. One can use a pool. One can use the ocean if you can find a quiet spot. Also, if one doesn't have a mikveh, because I think they're closed, and one doesn't have any other option, the last option is to use a shower. It's called tishok kabin. I'm not going to go into all the details now, but essentially it's to stand under a shower for a number of minutes and to move around so it covers the entire body without going out in the middle. So it's a continuous flow that covers about 3 or 4 minutes or something, depending on the force of the shower. One can be yotze with that also if there's no other choice. Of course, Yom Kippur itself, there's the 5 inuyim, the 5 afflictions, not to eat and drink, not to put any perfume and ointment, not to wear leather shoes, of course, not to wash and bathe in any way. That's why we bathe only with half a hand. And the Negelvasa, if one has to prepare children's food, one can wash. If your hands are dirty, one can wash their hands. If you get your hands dirty from preparing the food, you can also wash your hands. Otherwise, we only wash half a hand when we do Negelvasa in the morning. And also, finally, intimacy is also forbidden on Yom Kippur. So those are the 5 inuim. And then, of course, Matzah Yom Kippur. At the end of Yom Kippur, we come with full confidence that Hashem has accepted our tshuva and our tefillahs, and also there's a minhag of not only to eat because we're hungry, but also have a proper yontif meal and to celebrate the gemar chesima toiva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will definitely give us. Okay. So I wanted to spend the next few minutes before we develop some inspiration just exploring a little bit of a halachic analysis of the mitzvah of the day. We say the mitzvah of the day, I mean the mitzvah of the day, of course, is fasting, but we also know that the mitzvah of the day on Yom Kippur is the concept of tshuva. What that means, of course, is that tshuva is good always. As the Rambam says, we do tshuva every day. And the Rambam says that a person can do tshuva of anything wrong an entire year. And then the Rambam continues that an aseres yimei tshuva yofahi, it's beautiful. Tshuva in aseres yimei tshuva is beautiful and more accepted. However, when it comes to Yom Kippur, he changes the language and he says that Yom Kippurim is zman tshuva. Yom Kippur is the time of tshuva. What this means, just means briefly, we've done this before, but just briefly, it means that during the year, if a person did something wrong, for example, you can always do tshuva. But if you don't do tshuva that day or the next day, obviously it's better to do tshuva as soon as possible. But if not, you haven't transgressed anything. But Yom Kippur is the deadline. Comes Yom Kippur, you can't delay the tshuva anymore. Yom Kippur is the day of tshuva, it's the zman of tshuva, it's the zman to be mekayim, the mitzvah of tshuva. Which is why in Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to say vidui, to confess. Because as the Rambam says, the performance of the mitzvah of tshuva is through the concept of vidui. That's how tshuva isn't vidui in itself necessarily, but, and of course we know there's a whole discussion if mitzvah tshuva is a mitzvah altogether or not a mitzvah, or just an obligation, whatever the case is, but there's certainly a mitzvah to do vidui. And according to the Rambam, it seems, and the way the Mefarshim explain it, the way we fulfill, the essence of tshuva is different, as we'll soon see, but the way we fulfill and express the mitzvah of tshuva is through the concept of vidui. Confession, which comes together with charata al-ovar, regretting what we've done, doing vidui, and taking upon ourselves to improve in the future. But just to explain this just a little bit and break it down, there's a famous concept which the Balatanya brings in Igeres HaTshuva, that in fact we see in halacha, and it comes out from the Rambam's words also, that obviously you need to do vidui, but the truth is that the essence of tshuva is one thing. The essence of tshuva halachically is deciding to be better, deciding to leave the way of transgression and to follow Hashem. Where do we see this in halacha? Where do we see a proof of this in halacha? It's what he calls azivas hachet bilvad. It's just to leave the averi. Where do we see this in halacha? Fascinating halacha. There's a halacha brought down in the Gemara, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, la halacha as well. That if a man gave kiddushin to a woman, which means kiddushin is the legal part of marriage. Normally that happens under a chuppah when the chassan gives the kala a ring. And giving the kala the ring, that's how they become legally married. And from then on, they're both legally married. And if she wants to marry someone else, she will require a get, right? That's what happens. Now in the Gemara, we have all kinds of hypotheticals and interesting scenarios of how kiddushin could take place. Things we don't do today necessarily, we keep it straightforward. But nevertheless, there are those concepts. So one of the ideas is this concept of being mekadesh al tnai, to for a man to give kiddushin to a woman conditionally. And that works, meaning the condition has to be fulfilled. So there's a halacha, a mekadesh eso isha, if someone is mekadesh, someone betroths a woman, he gives kiddushin to a woman, al menasha ani tzadik gomur, on condition that I'm a perfect tzadik, even if it's a complete rasha, says the Gemara, she requires a get misofik. She requires a get out of doubt. Why? Because maybe the kiddushin took place, took effect. How could that be? He's a Rasha. And he said he's only giving a kiddushin on condition he's a tzaddik. Says the Gemara, Shema hirei tshuva beliboy. Maybe he had a thought, a fleeting thought of tshuva. Just before he gave her the ring or whatever he gave her, he had this thought of tshuva. No, his life is worthless. It's not good. He's going to do tshuva and he's going to follow Hashem. So the doubt, the reason that she needs a get out of doubt is because we're not sure if he had that thought. But it comes out from the Gemara and from Shulchan Aruch that if he did have that thought, then she's definitely mekudesha, she's definitely married. So we see from there an amazing thing. He hasn't done vidu yet. He hasn't done a proper cheshvan nefesh. He hasn't gone through a whole elul. He hasn't come to a full-blown charota ala ovar to regret the past. All he did was he had this thought of tshuva. And with that, he's fulfilling his condition of being a tzaddik gomer. So we see two amazing things in there. We see halachically that a person, the essence of tshuva, just leaving the chet, leaving the wrongdoings, that in itself is tshuva, halachically. And then we also see the power of tshuva, that in one moment a person can transform from a rosh gomer to a tzaddik gomer. So how does that fit in then, if that's the case? How does that fit in with the concept that we need vidui, we need confession, we need charata, we need to come Yom Kippur, we need to do the whole thing? So the essence of the explanation to this whole concept is the following. That in tshuva, and particularly in the tshuva, the way it's in the context of Yom Kippur, there are two parts. There's the future and the past. The future is, I resolve to be better in the future. That is tshuva. That's the essence of tshuva. Which is why if that Rasha Gomer, that complete Rasha, had this fleeting thought that he's going to do tshuva, that's tshuva. However, tshuva also includes another component, which Hashem wants us to achieve through the tshuva. It's not exactly tshuva, but it's something you achieve through tshuva, and that's the idea of kapara, atonement. Atonement is about the past. Atonement is about removing the stain, removing the effect, removing the consequences and the stain that the wrongdoing achieved in the past and wiping it away. Meaning, that guy that says under the chuppah, he thinks to himself he's going to do tshuva, he's done tshuva, but he hasn't achieved kapara. In other words, the past stain and the uncleanliness that he's affected his soul and the environment which we do through our actions is still there, which is not a good thing, not for him and not for the world, right? And Hashem wants a person to achieve kapara. You achieve kapara through a proper tshuva. This is what we achieve on Yom Kippur. And the halacha is that when it comes Yom Kippur, we know that although we say the itzumo yishol yoy mechaper, it's the day itself that brings atonement, but the halacha, the way it's paskined in some achloikas in the Gemara, but the way we paskin halacha is that the kapara of Yom Kippur is achieved through tshuva. You need to do tshuva on Yom Kippur to achieve the kapara of Yom Kippur. So kapara achieves, Yom Kippur achieves kapara even for things that tshuva alone cannot do, but it's through tshuva. So it's in that part of it, that broader ramification of tshuva where we need the whole concept of vidui and cheshbon hanefesh and charata and all these different components of tshuva. So yes, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tshuva in entirety, of course, includes proper tshuva with all the steps, including the verbalization of vidui. However, the essence of tshuva is aziv v'sachet. So that's the way these two things come together, and they all come together in a much, much greater, emphatic way, of course, on the day of Yom Kippur, because there's no day like Yom Kippur to achieve the concept of tshuva. So having said that, let's move a little bit to understand the power of tshuva, and particularly on Yom Kippur. Tshuva is about change. Tshuva is about shifting. Tshuva has to be practical. When we talk about tshuva in terms of Yom Kippur, there has to be a practical change. And of course, the whole idea is that we have to come out of Yom Kippur, not only being forgiven for Hashem, but changing. We have to change. We have to grow. So let's explore how that works. What does the power of tshuva do? So I want to continue on a little bit from what I did before Rosh Hashanah. Because, I mean, if you didn't hear it, don't worry. It's not. You'll follow this as well. But I'm saying that because tshuva has actually two parts. When we talked about Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both days of tshuva. Although, as I said last week, on Rosh Hashanah we know we don't actually mention sin. We don't go into the details of tshuva as we do on Yom Kippur. We don't do vidui Rosh Hashanah. We don't speak about averus in Rosh Hashanah. We do on Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really are two parts of tshuva. And this needs to be understood, and this really gives us an inkling into the whole power of Yom Kippur as well. Rosh Hashanah, we talked about the revelation of the foundation of tshuva. We talked about last week this idea that Rosh Hashanah, the etzem ha-neshama, the essence of our neshama, the part of us, the pintal ayid that never sinned, that foundational, unconditional relationship with Hashem, that is always intact at a very basic and foundational level, that's the starting point, that's where we repair and rebuild from, that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is that after a whole Elul, we find ourselves distant and we cry out to Hashem, we want to come back home. And we starting point is Avinu Avarachamon, that you're our Father. That we have this relationship that we've forgotten about in the background, this foundational relationship. That happens on Rosh Hashanah. That's when the Gilui of that Neshama starts on Rosh Hashanah. However, equally important is how it manifests itself and how it comes out on Yom Kippur. Why? See, what happens on Rosh Hashanah is there's a full-blown explosion of that depth of that neshama which is always connected with Hashem. However, what happens on Rosh Hashanah is that part of the neshama comes out strong. But the other layers of the neshama haven't yet changed. The other layers of that neshama, as we know, the neshama has multiple layers. We have this concept of pikabola, and it's brought down in Hasidic terminology, that the neshama has five layers. The fifth layer is the pintel ayid, the essence of the neshama that comes down in Rosh Hashanah. But there's the layer of the subconscious, there's a layer of our cognition, there's a layer of the way we think, there's a layer of emotion, there's a layer of behavior. There's many, many multiple detailed, and each layer has specifics and details. All the layers of the neshama, all the specific components of the neshama, at the point of Rosh Hashanah, have you not yet come into line with the bond that is expressed by the essence of the neshama. Now, it doesn't mean that on Rosh Hashanah the tshuva isn't complete. On Rosh Hashanah what happens is the essence of the neshama comes out so strong that the other layers go into the background. They're kind of anesthetized, let's put it that way. Let's give that example. They don't play a role. But the truth is that that's incomplete. Why is it incomplete? Because to do a proper tshuva, we need to reconnect with Hashem on all layers. To do a proper tshuva, we need the four outer layers of the neshama to be in line, to be consistent, to be an extension of that unbelievable bond with Hashem. And that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us, is when we need to bring the tshuva down to specifics. Why? Because Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us, is a yoim shenischayev boi hei tfilos. It's a day which we obligated in five davenings. Why five davenings? Because the Mefarshim always explained that Yom Kippur also, we're able to reach and connect to the deepest level of the neshama. But what does that mean? We did that on Rosh Hashanah too. Ah, but on Rosh Hashanah there's not five davenings. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah, we're connecting to the depth of the neshama, that's the shofar. Yom Kippur, we say it's a day of five davenings because it's a day that we have to bring in line, we have to bring that essential connection with Hashem coming from the depth of the neshama to be now manifest itself and express itself on all layers of the neshama. If the whole day is a day of number five, which means the five on the one hand means that we're reaching the fifth level, the deepest level of the neshama, but when we talk about the concept that it's the five levels, it means that all the five layers of the neshama are now going to be in sync and be an extension of and be completely in line with that fifth level, that Pinta Layid, the essence of the neshama. So let's explore that a little bit. Because when we talk about that idea, we understand why we find so many sources that Yom Kippur is a day of complete dveikus, complete oneness with Hashem, even more than Rosh Hashanah. Same idea. Again, because Rosh Hashanah is a complete oneness, but it doesn't permeate all the outer layers of the neshama. It's there in essence, but it's not manifesting itself in all details. Yom Kippur, we reach a complete shleimus. Yom Kippur, we reach through the process of tshuva, that every and the essence of the day, the power of the day. Yom Kippur, we reach that every part of us is one. Every part of us becomes one with Hashem. We found this manifests itself in many, many different ways. First of all, I'll just give you a general concept and then go more specific with a very interesting medrash. We have the famous Mishnah, which has many, many different explanations on it, but it's a famous Mishnah at the end of Yuma, where Omer Rabbi Akiva tells us, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you, the Jewish people, fortunate are you, lifnei mi atem metarim, before you, before whom you're able to purify yourself on Yom Kippur, umi metar eschem, and who is purifying you? Avinu shebashamayim, avichem shebashamayim, your father in heaven. And then Rabbi Akiva continues and he brings the pasuk, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Hashem is like a mikveh. Ma mikveh metayres atmeim, just like a mikveh can purify those that are impure. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayres Yisrael, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies the Jewish people. In other words, and one of the explanations of this Mishnah is, why does Rabbi Akiva give the analogy of a mikveh? Because this is the power of the tshuva specifically of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we bring the tshuva into all the details and we create this oneness, this complete immersion. The power of Yom Kippur is that we are able to bring every single part of us in line with this incredible oneness with Hashem. Just like a mikveh. Why? Two details we see in a mikveh. One concept you see in a mikveh is that a mikveh is total immersion. A mikveh means that the whole of you has to be immersed. That's what a mikveh is. If a person goes to mikveh and one hair is sticking out, the mikveh is invalid. A mikveh by definition means that it's complete immersion. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur means complete immersion. We're not only connecting to Hashem on a deep level, on the fifth level, on the Yechidah level. No, Yom Kippur, we connect to Hashem on every level. That Yechidah, that Pinta Layid, extends and expands and expresses itself through every level. And we know we that complete immersion means, what's the halacha of a mikveh? The halacha of a mikveh is that you have to go into it without a chatzitza. There should be nothing separating, nothing sticking out, and nothing separating you. So that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is we build this connection with Hashem like a complete immersion and with nothing standing in the way. No chatzitza, no separation. We remove the chatzitza. That's the process of tshuva. We take away the anything separating us between us and Hashem. That's how we do it. That's the process of tshuva. But the concept of Rabbi Akiva comparing the kapara, the atonement and the tshuva and the purity of Yom Kippur to the concept of a mikveh, that's this idea, expressing this idea of complete oneness that happens on Yom Kippur. That's why we find a very interesting thing on Yom Kippur with the Avodah. We know one of the big parts of davening is we recount the Avodah of Yom Kippur and we reenact it in a way, in a spiritual sense, in a davening sense. And one of the things that we tell is how the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and also how the Kohen Gadol would mention Hashem's holy name on Yom Kippur in a way that wasn't permitted to be done the whole year. And then we read, and we in fact don't only read, but we sort of act this out in a way. We say, Ve'akoyanim ve'ha'am, the koyanim and the people that used to stand in the Azorah when they would hear the Kohen Gadol utter the name of Hashem, koyrim u'mishtachavim v'noiflim malpaneihem. They would bow down, they would bow down even more, and they would fall on their faces. And we do this ourselves. What does that mean? What's the idea? Why in Yom Kippur do we do this? And also we have to look at the words very carefully. The words are koyrim u'mishtachavim v'noiflim malpaneihem. If you look in Halacha, if you look in Chazal, if you look through the whole sugya and the whole thing of how this works, there's a big difference between kriya and ishtahava and the filasapayim. Kriya means you bow down with your knees. Ishtahava means you bow down completely, and the way they used to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't do it like this today, but the concept is there. They have a noiflabnei and they were completely lay down flat on the floor. What's the idea? The idea is that kriya, when you bow down to Hashem, it shows a connection, it shows a surrender, it shows a complete giving ourselves over to our connection with Hashem. But there's different levels of how that works. There's the concept of kriya. Kriya means we bow down partially, which means part of us is surrendered, part of us isn't. We've come with part of us. But Yom Kippur, we learn that no. Koyrim u'mishtachavim v'noiflim al paneihem. Yom Kippur is about total oneness. Every part of us has to be bowing down to Hashem. Every part of us enters into this incredible bond on Yom Kippur. And it progresses with level after level throughout Yom Kippur until by Ne'ilah we are told it's the ultimate bond. That's the concept, same idea. And when we recount this on Yom Kippur, we reenact it and we try to experience it ourselves and each one of us on our own level, we embark on that process of Yom Kippur and the avoid of Yom Kippur and the tshuva of Yom Kippur until we sort of bring it, that connection that lives in that essence of the neshama, which was so revealed on Rosh Hashanah, we bring it in to all parts of us. There's not just kriya, there's not just ishtachava, but there's also noifli malpaneim, total surrender, total oneness. So I want to share with you in that line, I want to share with you a beautiful medrash. A very fascinating thing. We know, everyone knows that the laning, you know, the laning of Yom Kippur is Parshas Achrei Mois. Why? Because you open up a Chumash and you want to look for where the Avoid of Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol can be found. It's in Parshas Achrei Mois with all the details. There it goes through all the different things, etc., etc. But there's one isolated pasuk in the Torah which probably most of us miss. I can't tell you, I've paid attention to it so much until I read this. I'm basing it on something the Shvile Pinchas says. That there's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. The end of Parshas Tetzaveh. Where the pasuk is talking about the Mizbeach Hazov. Now, if you don't know, just to make it clear, in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, there were two altars. One was the big altar outside, the big Mizbeach for all the Korbanos, but then there was the Mizbeach HaPnim, the inner altar, Mizbeach Hazov, which was used for Ketores, it was used for incense. And when the Torah describes that altar in the last pasuk of Parshas Tetzaveh, it mentions an interesting fact that we know that every korban, every sacrifice that was brought a whole year round, an integral part of a korban was the sprinkling of the blood on the big mizbeach. There was once a year, however, where the Kohen Gadol, in fact, would take some of the blood of the korbanos and sprinkle it inside, first of all in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but also on the four corners of the inner Mizbech. And therefore the last pasuk of Parshas Tetzaveh makes mention of this. The Chiper Aaron al Karnoisov Achas Pashana. Aaron HaKohen will atone for the Jewish people on the corners of this Mizbech once a year from the sin offering that was brought on Yom Kippur. Chaper ol adoy reseichem kodush kadoshim mul Hashem. And that's how Parshas Tetzaveh ends. The next Parsha, of course, is Parshas Kisiso. Right? After the Tzaveh comes Kisiso, the very first paragraph of Parshas Kisiso deals with the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. Okay? So we know that when things come together in the Torah, there's meaning. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Machzis Kisiso, the Torah gives us the halacha of giving the half a shekel once a year, the half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdosh, which the Torah describes as some sort of atonement for the golden calf. Says the Medrash, Maksiv Lemaila. What is written before that? The pasuk that talks about Yom Kippur, right? sprinkling on the four corners of the Mizbeach Azov on Yom Kippur. So the Medrash says the following. The Medrash says that when the Yidden sinned with the Egel Azov, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to get an atonement going. And then the Medrash, I won't go into all details, the Medrash goes to sort of a conversation between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu about how the atonement is going to be achieved. One suggestion is Yom Kippur, but then Hashem says the Machzis HaShekel, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, the Machzis HaShekel will also be an atonement, and that will then achieve, if that doesn't work, that will be a preparation, and will come into Yom Kippur. So the Medrash connects Machzis HaShekel, the giving of the half a shekel, with Yom Kippur. And the way it comes out from the Medrash, if you read the Medrash carefully, it comes out that the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, the mitzvah of a half a shekel, is a kachonah, it's a preparation for Yom Kippur. What does that mean? How does Machzis HaShekel, which by the way was given around Purim time, right? How does that come into the concept of Yom Kippur? I mean, I know there's a connection between Purim and Yom Kippur, but that's not the point here, right? So first of all, let me share with you a beautiful vort on the coming week's parsha, the parsha in which Yom Kippur falls. A word from the Koshnitzer Magid, the Avodas Yisrael. The Koshnitzer Magid says the following. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ha'azinu, in this coming week's parsha, he says like this. He turns to the heaven and the earth. He says, Ha'azinu Hashomayim, listen heaven, and I'm going to speak. And then let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Strange sort of way to open the parsha. Says the Koshnitzer Magid, he says, you know, this is a lesson for all mashpiim and rabbonim and magidim. It's a lesson how you have to inspire someone else. What does he mean? He says like this. If you know that someone has done something wrong, if you know that you have to reprimand someone or inspire someone or lift someone up, you need to know how to do it. Why? Because he says every year there's two parts of his neshama. There's the shamayim part of the neshama and there's the eretz part of the neshama. The shamayim part of the neshama is the hidden, untainted, uncorrupted depth of the neshama that is always one with Hashem. Then there's the external layers of the neshama. That's oretz. That's the land. That's the earthly parts of the neshama. That's the part of the neshama where you mess up on. That's the part of the neshama that is sometimes resistant to doing the right thing and is resistant even to being told that it's doing the wrong thing. Says the Koshnitzer Magid, you wanna change a yid, you gotta start from shamayim. You got to talk to the part of the neshama. The problem is, he says, and sometimes often the people talk to the oretz of the neshama. Can't do that. You got to talk to the shamayim of the yid. You got to start with the shamayim of the neshama, the part of the neshama that's always complete, the Rosh Hashanah part. That's how you start. Then he says, v'sishma oretz imrefi. Then the oretz will also listen. You got to empower. You got to expose. You got to reveal. You got to strengthen the shamayim part of the neshama, and then connect it to the oretz part of the neshama. And of course, this has to do with a famous vort of the Mizritcha Magid. The Mizritcha Magid said the following. There's a mitzvah in the Torah where the Torah tells us to make trumpets. So it's Parshas Baloischa. And over there it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people, Asei lecha shtei chatzoitzrois kesef. Make two trumpets chatzoitzrois of silver. Says the Mizritcha Magid, and this is coming back to the point that I wanted to make about Yom Kippur. The word chatzoitzrois, says the Mizritcha Magid, can be translated or broken down, the words chatzoitzrois, as shtei chatzoitzrois. Two halves of one form. Many ways to explain that, but one of the ways it explains it is the two parts of the Yid's neshama. There's the neshama, what we call the neshama lamayla, the shamayim of the neshama, the essence of the neshama, the part of the neshama that's always connected. And then there's the part of the neshama that interacts with our body, the part of the neshama that is in our body through which we do the mitzvahs and we learn Torah and so on and so forth. Says the Magid, Yisei lecha shtei chatzoitzreis kesef. Chatzoitzreis is the two halves of the neshama, and kesef, silver. Why silver? Because kesef, we know, often is translated as the concept of love, yearning. As Lovan said to Yaakov, nichsoif nichsafto. Kisufim in Hebrew means to yearn. The two parts of the neshama yearn for each other. Why? the part of the neshama that is in our body that has to, the outer layers of the neshama, the part of the neshama that has to work and interact with the physical world, with all of its challenges, with all of its yetzaharas, with all of its problems. That part of the neshama yearns to connect with the purity of the neshama, the depth of the neshama. Conversely, the depth of the neshama, which is the part that's sort of above us, or sort of more, as we call it, makif, and more shamayim, more the higher part of the neshama, yearns to connect to the lower part of the neshama, because the purpose of a yid is to do mitzvahs. The purpose of a yid is to learn Torah. The purpose of a yid is to connect to Hashem in this world. And that the essence of our neshama cannot do that. It needs the neshama that's enclosed in the hands, in the feet, in the brain, in the heart, to learn Torah, to have avas Hashem, to daven, to put on tefillin, to fix a mezuzah. That part of the neshama needs the lower part of the neshama. So if the two parts of the neshama yearn for each other, so that's why the Medrash says that the hachana for Yom Kippur, the preparation of Yom Kippur, is the mitzvah of machtzis ha-shekel, the giving of the machtzis ha-shekel. We need to know, as we come to Yom Kippur is about complete oneness. Yom Kippur is about going into the details. Yom Kippur is about joining the two parts of the neshama together. How do we do that? On Rosh Hashanah, we reveal and we expose the pintal ayid, the shomayim of the neshama, the yechidah shebenefesh, that essence of a Jew. On Yom Kippur, what we do is we connect that part even more. We connect it by giving the neshama, the shamayim, the neshama, the rest of our neshama. Yom Kippur, we give the machzis ha-shekel, we take the other half, the half of the shekel, the half of the neshama, the half of the neshama that maybe is wandered throughout the year, maybe is strayed a bit throughout the year, and we give it to Hashem as well. We connect the two half tzurois, we connect the shtei chatzoy tzurois kesef, we make a oneness, we create that chatzi, we give the half that is still unfinished, that hasn't been completed, that hasn't been perfected, we make it in line and we connect it to the shamayim of the neshama, the essence of the neshama, so that the essence of the neshama can now shine through every layer, every part of our consciousness, every part of our thinking, every part of our emotion, every part of our behavior, every part of what we do. This is connected to a verse that's also brought down in the Likutei Torah about why the Jews are called two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. And we know that so he says there that Yisrael means the higher level of the neshama. Yisrael is the hidden, deeper part of the neshama, the part that's always connected with Hashem. Yaakov, which represents the heel, is the lower part of the neshama. But of course, the purpose is for them to come together. The Yaakov of the neshama is important. We cannot do mitzvahs without Yaakov. We cannot learn Torah without the Yaakov part of the neshama. But the Yaakov part of the neshama sometimes gets entangled and has to come into line and connect with the concept of the Yisrael of the neshama. And this is also why we know that on Yom Kippur, we read in the Avodah, we've said this before in Shul, but just to go over it again, this is also why on Yom Kippur, we have this interesting counting that the Kohen Gadol used to do when he used to sprinkle the blood on Yom Kippur. We say when he came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, he used to sprinkle blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and outside. How he would sprinkle, there would be 7-8 sprinklings. Says the Chazal, Achas Lemaila, the Achas Sheva Lamata. One on top and 7 down. But how would he count? He had a very strange way of counting. When he did the one going upwards, he would say Achas. And then he would say Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Shalash. You're all familiar with the tefillah. Why do we do that? So without going into the practicalities of why I did that, on a deeper level, it's exactly the point we've been making. So in Kabbalah it says that the achas, that one refers to the essence of the neshama, that comes out even stronger on Yom Kippur, even more than Rosh Hashanah. But the purpose of Yom Kippur is that oneness of the neshama so then permeate all the levels of the neshama. And therefore the 7 that he goes afterwards represents the 7 midos, the chesed, the gvura, the tiferes, the netzach, hoed, yisoid, the malchus. That's our personality. That's the consciousness of our personality. It's the layers of how we work. So the whole point of Yom Kippur is not just the achas. The point of Yom Kippur is the achas and then achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, that one, that pintal ayid, that essence of the neshama, that connection with Hashem, should burn and be revealed and be exploded into every layer of who we are. And that's what the Kohen Gadol said, achas, achas ve'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish. It's got to come all the way down. So we too on Yom Kippur, we also are like the Kohen Gadol. As the Sfarim say that nowadays, we don't have a Kohen Gadol. Mitzvah we will have very, very soon, even before Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Shem. But if Chas Shalom Mashiach doesn't come, we are the Kohen Gadol. And on Yom Kippur, we stand and we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We go into the Pintel Yid. We go into the very depths of our neshama. Yom Kippur, there's no barriers. Yom Kippur, Tosfos brings in Shas and it's brought down so many places that the Satan has no control on Yom Kippur. There's an open book. We can do whatever we want in terms of connecting to Hashem on Yom Kippur. There's no barriers. So therefore, we are like the Kohen Gadol. We go into the deepest part of our neshama. But when we are there, we pledge that it's not going to remain there. We do achas ve'achas, achas v'shtayim, that pintel, that achas, that oneness in the neshama should then extend and expand into the achas and the shtayim and the sholosh, the seven layers of our personality, every single part of who we are, to create that complete oneness. That's what Yom Kippur is about. And therefore, coming to Yom Kippur, we need a plan. Coming to Yom Kippur, we can't just come to Yom Kippur. We have a Seiros Yemei Teshuva to build and to prepare. Because coming to Yom Kippur, we do Teshuva, we have to come in with something. We have to come in, we have to try at least the best we can to come in with a plan, a detailed plan. Rosh Hashanah was about the commitment to make that shift. But Yom Kippur is about making that commitment real, bringing it down. That's why we say vidui with so many different details. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, we need to do two things. On Yom Kippur, we need to come to Yom Kippur with a bit of a plan and then commit and try and make sure that plan then is so strong and it's inspired by and it's connected to the very essence of our Jewishness, and then it stays with us for the rest of the year. That's the plan. That's the concept of Yom Kippur. That's how we go into Yom Kippur properly. That's how we do tshuva properly, to bring that unbelievable connection that we have with Hashem, that is a supernatural and a super rational and unconditional bond we have with Hashem, that bonim atem la Hashem elokeichem, that the fact that we are just children of Hashem, which by the way is also connected to what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said, he was the one that said Yom Kippur is like a mikveh. We know, what does Rabbi Akiva say? You can know sometimes what a person says, what his Talmidim say. Rabbi Meir, who's the Talmud Rabbi Akiva, is the one that says in Kiddushin that whatever happens, Ben Kach or Ben Kach Bonimhe, whatever happens, we are children of Hashem. It's unbelievable bond. The Zohar says, another Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that if the Yidden would know how much Hashem loved them, they would just always yearn to be connected to Hashem. That's how strong it is, and that's how strong it comes out on Yom Kippur. But what we have to do on Yom Kippur is, to make the tshuva complete, is to translate it, to translate that incredible bond into something tangible, into something real. But I want to just make a few points of the perspective that we need to do in order to do that. The first thing is a word which we've, myself and Rabbi Levi, have mentioned a number of times, but we have to mention it here because it's a beautiful chiddush and it comes into what we were just talking about. Of course, we have to make it real and we have to make sure that it comes into every part of who we are. But we also have to remember that sometimes it doesn't mean on a practical level, or it can't mean on a practical level, complete transformation overnight. But it has to translate, this concept has to manifest itself in something. Which goes back to what Rabbi Akiva said, and that chiddush that the Lubavitch Rebbe once said, a beautiful chiddush, where Rabbi Akiva says that ma mikvah metayer esatmei. He said, just like a mikvah purifies the impure. And the question he asked was, I'm not going to go into all details of his talk, but he asked the question, how come Rabbi Akiva had to say in the Mishnah, ma mikvah metayres hatmeim, just like a mikvah purifies the impure. Why don't you just say, just like a mikvah purifies, finished. So he said an unbelievable word based on a Mishnah in Brachas. The Mishnah in Brachas is that that there's different levels of tumah. And for example, I'm not going to go into all the details now, but there's some levels of tumah where mikveh is enough. There's some levels of tumah where you need a spring water mikveh. There's some levels of tumah where you need a chayis, a paraduma, whatever the case is, right? Not always a mikveh can remove every layer of tumah. So there's a Gemara which talks about zov sur shara keri, which means that one person who had a stricter level of tumah, but he also developed a lower level of tumah. And now he wants to go to mikveh, and of course he thinks to himself, what's the point? If I go to mikveh, I'm going to remove the lower level of tumah, but I'm still going to have the bigger level of tumah. Says the Gemara, no, the halacha is he still has to go to mikveh. because that's the pshat, ma mikveh metaher es hatmeim. Just like the mikveh can purify even those that are still tameh. They're still deficient. They're still not connected properly. But the mikveh being purity, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaher es hatmeim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies the Jewish people. What does this mean? It means like this. It means that the concept of Yom Kippur is the mindset of Yom Kippur, the feeling of Yom Kippur, the experience of Yom Kippur has to be one of complete oneness. How do we translate it into action? A mikveh. A mikveh means it has to be a real move. It has to be a move, an achlat that we immerse ourselves in, something real, a real push. But even if it doesn't bring perfection, it's still a mikveh. And it still brings purity. And just like that mikveh can purify someone who is still impure, but he went to mikveh, he immersed, he completely dunked himself in, completely got involved in that experience. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaheres Yisrael, so too Hashem purifies the Jewish people. So we have to think about what we do as we go into Yom Kippur. We can't change everything, and we get overwhelmed if we want to change everything. We have to make the proper cheshbon, we have to know where we are, but then we have to take one or two or three things that are real, that will push us, but real, and try going to mikveh in that. Even though there's still other things to do. Even though we're still deficient maybe. But we still need to do it. It still brings purification. It still brings us connection. And it still achieves what Yom Kippur has to achieve. That complete oneness. That oneness just has to manifest itself in that one move. In that one push. In that one mikveh that we do. Because that mikveh brings the purity. Because Hashem sees, as we go into that mikveh, He sees the direction where we are. He sees the whole potential tshuva in that mikveh. He sees where we're on the right road. He sees the completion and the perfection that is yet to come, but He already sees it in that move that we've made now. So that's the first thing to bear in mind. It doesn't need to be an overwhelming process. It has to be, we have to push ourselves, yes, but we cannot overwhelm ourselves with, well, I don't know, I can't do this. No, we have to go to mikveh in one area, two areas, but go and make it real and come up with a practical plan of a real change. First point. Second point is, I saw written from a Divrei Shmuel, a Chassidish Rebbe, just before Yom Kippur, A chassid came into me very worried, and he said to his rebbe before Kol Nidre, he was very serious, was very sort of, I don't know, uneasy about the day, and he said to him, "V'gaitman arayin in Yom Kippur." He says, "How do we go into Yom Kippur?" And the rebbe answered him, and he said, "Mita idin in einem." You have to go in with another yid. Before you go to Yom Kippur, we have to know the power of the klal, the power of connecting with other people. Atem nitzovim ayoyim kulchem, we read before Rosh Hashanah, and it extends to Yom Kippur. The concept of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur means that we have to be together with others. We have to make sure before Yom Kippur, first of all, that we are okay with all other people, we are okay with our relationships, we have to make sure that Abin Adam Lachavero is good, we have to connect to someone, we have to call, now this year even more, we have to call up someone before Yom Kippur, we have to call our people to bless them to a good year, we have to just connect to other people. That concept of Achdus, that concept of unity, that concept of oneness is a very important preparation to Yom Kippur. Because that means that Hashem looks at us as a klal, looks at us all together. And when Hashem looks at us all together, that purity and that oneness is ever more so powerful. So that's another important perspective going into this concept of creating that oneness, to go in mitnocha yidin with another yid together, not just by ourselves. We're not individuals, we're part of Klal Yisrael. And of course we have to have our own individual plan and our own individual connection. But we have to also make sure that as we go into Yom Kippur, we're not going in as individuals. We're going in with a connection that we can make and we create and we strengthen with other yidin. Thirdly, I want to mention something. I'm going to give it over. I gave it over a number of years ago before Ne'ilah, but I want to give it over again. Because I think it's also an important part of the perspective of how we daven and the emunah that we have that Hashem will allow us to create this oneness. And it's a beautiful vart, and I just want to share it with you. It comes from a Gemara in Brachas Daf Zayin, famous Gemara. It's more famous nowadays because it's an Avram Fried song, where we find that Omar Rabbi Shmuel, who was a Kohen Gadol, said the following. He said, "Pam achas, one time." He said, "Nichnasti, I went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim lahaktir ketoires, to bring the ketoires on Yom Kippur, the incense on Yom Kippur. I went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Veroisi akasrikel," he said, "I saw a vision," whatever the Mefarshim said what the vision is. Essentially, he saw the Shechina, he saw the presence of Hashem, basically. Shehu yoshev al kisei rom v'nisal, he was sitting on a high throne. And there's a dialogue that then goes on between Rabbi Shmuel and Hashem, so to speak. The Omar li, listen to these words. He said to me, always Hashem said to Rabbi Shmuel, the Kohen Gadol representing Klal Yisrael. He said to me, Yishmael b'ni barcheini. Yishmael, my son, give me a bracha. So what does Rabbi Shmuel do? He gives Hashem a bracha and he says, Yiratzim ulfanecha, may be the will that your mercy for us should overpower your anger. Your compassion should only do rachamim with us. You should go beyond judgment. You should give us a good year, basically. Right? And then he says, V'nenali b'roishoi, and Hashem nodded his head in agreement. So this whole Gemara doesn't make sense. First of all, what do you mean, Yishmol b'ni b'rachayni? Hashem needs abroche. Hashem needs Yishmol to bench him. And even if he does, if Hashem wants Yishmol to give Hashem a bracha, what does he do? Rabbi Shmuel doesn't give Hashem a bracha. He gives the Jews a bracha. He says, Hashem, take care of your Jewish people. What kind of bracha is that? And Hashem agrees. So what's going on here? So the word to the explanation of this Gemara is the following, based on a pshat in Lekutei Torah about what does it mean when Hashem said, Yishmol b'ni borcheini. What does the word bracha mean? So there's a famous idea that the word bracha means to bring down. It comes from a Mishnah, Hamavrich Esagefen, someone who grafts a tree by bending the tree down into the ground. Bracha, every time we make a bracha, we're bringing Hashem into the world. Oh, so if we understand it that way, we can understand the whole Gemara like this. Rabbi Shmuel representing Klal Yisrael, and every single one of us on Yom Kippur going into our own Kodesh HaKadoshim, we go into the Holy of Holies, and we encounter the Shechina. We encounter the Shechina, we are taught nowadays, especially by Ne'ilah. We encounter the Shechina, we see the Shechina, Shu Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisos, sitting on the highest throne, the Kisei HaKavod. And Hashem turns to every single one of us, and He says, Yishmael B'ni Borcheini. My son, Yishmol Borcheini, bring me down into the world. Reveal me in this world. Do more mitzvahs. Learn more Torah. Bring Hashem into the world. This is your mission for the year. Yishmol b'ni Borcheini. I want you to bring me down. Invite me into your life. Invite me into the life of your home. Invite me into your environment, to your city. Bring me into the world. Make this world a place where Hashem feels comfortable. So Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, of course, but make it easy for us. Help us do it. Give us the resources. Forgive us. Bench us with a good year. Give us a Gemar Simit Toive. Take away all the tsoris that Yidden are experiencing. We shouldn't have a year like last year with the flood and the fires and the buildings and who knows what and the corona and all the things and all the tsoris that Yidden generally, communally, and individually experience. We ask Hashem, Yiratzim ufanecha sheyichbashu rachamechas kascha. We are committed. We're going to bring you into the world. We're going to create the oneness. We're connecting the two parts of our neshama, the Shomayim and the Oretz together. We're fully committed. We're jumping into the mikveh. We're immersing ourselves in experience. But give us the resources. Make it easy for us to learn Torah. Take away the worries and the pressure and the stress that people have, so we should have the mind space and the menuchas hanefesh and the calmness of spirit and the calmness of our mind and our heart to be able to learn Torah properly, to go to a shir, to go to shul, to be able, when we're able to mitzvah very, very soon, and to be able to do mitzvahs and to have the resources to give tzedakah and to be kind to other people. Bench us for that good year so we should be able to be barcheini. We should be able to bring you into the world. And says the Gemara, V'nana li b'roishe, and Hashem agrees. He agrees. If we commit to the Barcheini, if we commit to bringing him into the world, he commits to first benching us and making it us possible and easy to be able to do that. And that's another perspective we have to go into Yom Kippur with, that amunah, that we're trying our best, but Hashem is going to listen to us and Hashem is going to bench us, and that bitochen and that amunah that Hashem will give us these resources. We'll have the detailed plan. We're going to create that oneness, but Hashem is going to give us the resource to be able to carry it out throughout the year. Because the most important thing is that amunah, and I'm going to finish with this last perspective, the fourth perspective. And that is a very famous word, which I've also mentioned a number of times, but it's such an important word. It's a word from the Kotzke Rebbe. We asked the question, I think it's from the Kotzke Rebbe. We asked the question, a famous question, that right after Ne'ilah, and right after we say Shema Yisrael, right after that complete moment of oneness, we start Mariv and we say, V'racham Yichapir Ovaim. Hashem, please, slach lonu kichotonu, forgive us. Now we know we say that every year, but Motzi Yom Kippur, after the complete kapara has been given, what possible avera, what possible chet, what possible avera could we possibly have? Every year is clean, slate, completely clean. Okay, maybe give us a couple of days, we become the fisher if they say slach lonu again. But right after Yom Kippur, what possible avera could there be? Said the Kotzker Rebbe, there's only one avera that could possibly happen right after Yom Kippur. And that one avera is not fully believing and trusting that Hashem forgave us and Hashem listened to our tefillahs. That could be the possible thing that we have to ask for kapara. So let's not do that. Let's wipe away that deficiency as well. And let's go into Yom Kippur with these perspectives. Understanding that Yom Kippur is a time where we complete what we started in Rosh Hashanah. Where we bring that unbelievable, incredible, eternal bond that we have with Hashem unconditionally into every part of who we are. That the Yechidush HaMenefesh, the Pintal Yid, is now fully expressed and manifested and revealed in every layer of our existence. We come to that completion through us creating the partnership between the two parts of the Neshama. By us having a plan, by us going through the process of tshuva properly, to the best of our ability from the depths of our heart. By remembering these four things, that number one, it's a mikveh, therefore, even if it's just in one area or two areas, we try our best, but it's a fully charged experience of immersion and commitment. And that we ask Hashem for the resources to doing it, v'neneli b'roish, and He agrees. He agrees if we commit to bring Him into the world, He commits to give us the resources. He's going to give it to us anyways. But especially if we commit to that. And of course, we know that we have to connect to other Yid, and let's not go into Yom Kippur alone. Let's make sure that we connect to other people, that we strengthen our achdus, we strengthen our unity, we strengthen the way we deal with other people, the way we connect to other people on all levels. And most importantly, to believe and have the full bitachin that Hashem listens to our tshuva and He accepts our tshuva. Because at the end of the day, we're just going to try our best. But He's going to understand that and He's going to really bless us with a complete gemar chesim v'toyva and a good gibench tayor for all of us. We're going to go through the experience of Yom Kippur to the best of our ability. And at the end of Yom Kippur, we're going to dance and we're going to sing wherever we are in besimcha with unbelievable celebration, dancing into the celebration of Sukkot Simchas Torah, celebrating the kesher and the bond that we created with Hashem through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and enjoying the chesima and the gemar chesima toiva that Hashem has given us on Yom Kippur to enjoy and to connect to Him throughout the entire year. So I wish everyone, again, hopefully I'll see you some through the week at some of the other shurim. But in the meantime, to wish everyone a chesima and a gemar chesima toiva and a good against the year, begashmis, beruchnis, in a revealed way, betoiva nirva nigla. And we should be able to be zoicha mitz Hashem to have the ultimate Yom Kippur, which is seeing the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim being maktir ketoiras b'mheira b'yomeinu. A good vach, everyone.